Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about.
I need to be able to stop these Russian attacks that are coming from bases inside Russia. So I think there's also a question of whether we, the United States and our allies, ought to give them more help in hitting Russian bases, which heretofore we've not been willing to do.
There you go. Bomb Russia, so says Victoria Nuland. If you think that suggestion to bomb Russia sounds crazy, wait till you hear what else Victoria Nuland had to say. I'm going to play it for you. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let's do it. All right, let's start with this. Very important conversation going on in the United States right now. In fact, it couldn't possibly be any more important. My gosh, think about this. It's about whether the people of the United States, that involves me and maybe some of you who are watching right now, want to start a war with Russia. Seriously, whether you want, do you want to start a war with Russia? Do you really want to start a war with Russia? I won't say that that would be possibly the beginning of World War III, but if you're thinking about that, you probably might be right, or at least asking a good question to yourself. Here's the deal, and here's why I'm asking the question and posing all of this. Ukraine has recently been bombing and killing civilians in a Russian border city that's named Belgorod. You probably don't know that if you happen to live in the United States, because the media here doesn't report that. But because of that, Russia has tried to create, or says it's creating, this safe zone inside of Ukraine in a place called Kharkov. Some would call it Kharkov. The Ukrainians call it Kharkiv, whatever, to try and stop the bombing. So the Russians are moving into that area to stop the bombing because that's where the missiles are being used to fire into Belgorod. Do you follow that? Okay. And they're doing it by hitting that area right there near the Russian border. Well, so the U.S. Secretary of State, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, I misspoke, Lloyd Austin, was asked recently if Ukraine should now be allowed to use U.S. weapons, the weapons made here in the United States, to bomb Russia, right? Mind you, they already are bombing Russia. I mean, they're already doing it, but regardless, let's pretend they're not, right? So when Lloyd Austin was asked this question, he said no. Here's the headline. This is what you could read right about now. I think this is ABC News, but everybody picked it up. As you can see, what General Austin is saying is that there's an expectation by him that when he gives Ukraine weapons, or when the United States gives Ukraine weapons, they will be used inside of Ukraine only. They will not be used to attack Russia. Which kind of makes sense, right? We don't want to be giving somebody weapons and then they're shooting them off and hitting China or Russia, and right? So obviously, not to the U.S. media, though. See, the U.S. media doesn't find this obvious, which is even, you could almost argue that there are members of the media in the United States that are more war-hungry than the U.S. general himself, the guy who's in charge of the Defense Department, like people at CNN and stuff like that. They almost are more of war hawks than people even at the State Department are, believe it or not. It's obvious. Just watch the news. So these folks, in this case, I think it was ABC, they sought out their favorite people to talk to after the Secretary of Defense, said, no, we don't want Ukraine bombing Russia. They made a phone call to Victoria Nuland. Victoria Nuland, who is an unabashed Russia-hating war hawk, and she suggested, yeah, we should encourage Ukraine to bomb Russia. Notice, she never mentions that Ukraine has already been bombing Russia. She never talks about Belgorod. So here is Nuland being asked if Ukraine should bomb Russia with U.S. weapons. Listen to what she says.
And do you think they should? I think if the attacks are coming directly from over the line in Russia, that those bases ought to be fair game, whether they are where missiles are being launched from or where they are where troops are being supplied from. I think it's time for that because Russia has obviously escalated this war, including, as you said at the beginning, attacking Russia's second city, Kharkiv, which is not on the front lines, and trying to decimate it without ever having to put a boot on the ground. So I think it is time to give the Ukrainians more help hitting these bases inside Russia.
So listen to what she's saying. I feel like I'm doing the Daily Show here instead of a news show, because this is almost like funny how ridiculous it is. She uses the fact that Russian soldiers and Russian troops come from Russia. Therefore, Ukraine should attack Russia because Russian troops and Russian soldiers and Russian ammunition come from Russia. Where the hell else could they come from? Antarctica? It's like her reasoning is we should attack Russia because the troops and the soldiers and the guns and the ammunition and the weapons that are being used on Ukraine come from Russia. Of course they come from Russia. By the way, what she is suggesting is an all-out war with Russia. And Martha Raddatz, the woman who's interviewing her, she doesn't even push back. It's like, oh, okay, that's what you mean. Okay. Manila? Did you pick up on any of this?
Well, Rick, if we apply the same reasoning that Victoria Nuland used there, then the 20 years that the United States occupied Afghanistan, it would have given the Taliban the right to fire off missiles or use their, you know, their whoever supporting them, the Taliban, to fire rockets off this way to mainland United States. So that kind of rhetoric is nothing more than trying to continue more and more bloodshed. She was saying how, you know, in the rest of that interview, saying how we didn't move fast enough. We, as in the United States and Congress, didn't move fast enough to supply more arms. As we know, there was a contingent of Republican Congress people who were holding back, holding the line from giving more aid and arms to Volodymyr Zelensky. However, the rest of that soundbite, Rick, I think is important to note. If you ever want to know why war is a racket, Victoria Nuland wraps up her interview by saying that, by the way, most of this Ukraine aid is coming right back to the defense industry and provides good jobs in more than 30 states here in the United States, Martha.
Let's start a war with Russia because it'll provide great jobs for Americans here in the United States, and then we'll all die during World War III.
But can't we had make this up, Rick. Can't make it up.
But we made some good money before we died, right? My goodness. But by the way, if Victoria Nuland, let me just add one more thing before we go. Stop. Don't move the teleprompter yet, because we're not going to move on to the next story. There's something I should say, and I always forget to say this, but this is important. Were we to start a war with Russia, right? And so many Americans don't know this either. Let me just say this, because this is important. They have more nuclear warheads than we do. One more time. They have more nuclear warheads than we do. Wouldn't be smart to start a war with Russia. I wouldn't be for it. What do you say? Let me know later. By the way, if Victoria Nuland doesn't start World War III, there's always these old white guys in the U.S. Congress who are willing to do it. Are you ready for this? Several congressmen are proposing that IDF soldiers receive the same benefits that U.S. soldiers enjoy, which essentially means that they're expanding the U.S. military to include Israel's military. Again, I ain't making this up. Here's what it says. Let me read it to you. Victor, put this up on the screen. Look at this. See that? As you can see, it says the service of a citizen of the United States in the IDF will be treated in the same manner as the services of a soldier in uniformed services. How in the hell do you think this will be received around the world if we literally say that from now on the U.S. Army and the Israeli Army will be one and the same? Which is what these congressmen, thank God it's not the entire Congress, it's just a couple of guys who are proposing this, want to suggest. Manila.
Well, Rick, first, after I finished rolling my eyes, we should say that this is applicable to roughly 20,000 dual citizen American / Israeli people that are currently serving in the IDF. Remember, service in the IDF is mandatory. It's compulsory if you maintain an Israeli passport. Now, that said, I take personal umbrage to this stupid, ridiculous bill. I am the wife of a veteran who is permanently disabled. And for years and years and years, we always hear how the VA doesn't have enough resources to do A or to do B. Yeah. We can't take care of our veterans because of this, that, or the other thing. But now you're saying you want to spread those limited resources to people who, they're also Americans, but they never served in the U.S. military.
Yeah.
These are dual citizens serving in a foreign military. And if the resources are as limited as they claim they are for our own veterans who are tens of thousands of them homeless, starving, dying on the street, drug addicted, we can't serve them after they've served this country. But now you want to give those limited resources away to people serving elsewhere? It's absolutely ridiculous. Those people should resign.
You think it'll make a lot of Americans angry, but it's also going to make a lot of people overseas angry. I can't imagine the people in the Middle East are not going to look at this and saying, oh, so basically what you're saying is the United States and Israel are now one country. And if Israel's going to take us on, including Iran, which would be hearing with very big ears at this conversation, they're going to say that essentially you guys are taking us on too. I just can't see this ending up in any way other than like a frickin' disaster or a catastrophe.
Absolutely. The optics of this alone, Rick, shows that we are walking in lockstep and further supports the ongoing genocide. No matter what they say that this isn't a genocide, this, I think, supports that in that we're no longer tacitly supporting it. We're actively supporting it.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Manila. When we come back, by the way, Sam Husseini. Let me tell you about Sam. He's an independent journalist who covers the State Department. You know what's great about Sam? And he and I are going to be talking here in just a little bit. In fact, I think you're going to see him here. There he is. Hi, Sam. How are you? You know what's cool about, this guy? He is not a lapdog. So many journalists are. He asks tough questions that often make State Department officials seem both foolish, nervous, maybe even a little hypocritical, maybe even a lot hypocritical. We've got an example of exactly what we're talking about when we come back. Stay right there.
To counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays, on est en France quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news for so long, and I always enjoy when somebody does real journalism. So I want to play something here for you in just a little bit. This is here is the State Department. Can I say lackey? He's kind of a lackey, you know, somebody who's paid to. He's kind of like a PR guy, Matt Miller, right? He says He's saying, how dare the ICC, the International Criminal Court. The International Criminal Court came out recently and criticized Israel and asked for Benjamin Netanyahu's arrest, right? For what? 40,000 people who are dead, 15 to 17,000 children who are dead, the, you know, alleged genocide of a country trying to get rid of all the people who happen to be Palestinians who live in that area. At least those are the accusations, right? So the ICC is making the case, and they say Benjamin Netanyahu should be arrested for that. Well, you're going to hear Matt Miller essentially say, oh, the ICC doesn't know what the hell it's talking about. How dare they say something like that? They have no place to be saying something like that. And at the end, you're going to hear Sam Husseini's voice, my guest, asking Matt Miller a really good question. Here it is.
The United States fundamentally rejects the announcement today from the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court that he is applying for arrest warrants for senior Israeli officials together with warrants for Hamas terrorists. First of all, Israel has its own investigation. Second, we have accountability mechanisms here. We have processes that are ongoing to look at Israel's compliance with international humanitarian law. So there are places to look at these questions. It's just, in our view, fundamentally not a role of the ICC.
The U.S. does not have jurisdiction.
I wasn't referring to criminal jurisdiction, Matt. There are different ways to look at this. Long term, we agree with you that the Palestinian people should be a state that has have the ability to make these determinations, but that's not where we are today. That's where we're trying to get to.
You were fine with the ICC going after Russia in no time flat.
You were fine with the ICC going after Russia in no time flat. But now, to continue the question, when they go after Israel, how dare they? How dare they go after Israel? Yes, go after Russia. Go after China. Go after any country we don't like. But if you go after a country we like, then you're not a real organization and you're breaking all the rules. I mean, I hate to say it, but my gosh, how hypocritical can you be? Sam Husseini, he's an independent voice that you should consider subscribing to. He's on Substack, by the way. He's on Substack under the heading Husseini. Sam, good to see you again, my friend. How are you?
Good to be with you, Rick. Thanks.
So what happened after you asked him that question where you said you were fine with Russia doing it, but now you're not? What did he say? What happened?
Well, he ignored me. He's loath to call on me terribly often. It had what I thought the effect would be. Later on, Matt Miller, who you saw briefly there, the AP reporter, who's more independent than most U.S. Journalists, although sometimes he asks some questions from a hawkish perspective.
Yeah.
As well, he's different from me, but he's better than the vast majority of mainstream reporters. He picked up on it and started asking them regarding Russia. And what you ended up having is at the beginning, Miller was falsely saying they don't apply the ICC in the case of Israel-Palestine because Israel isn't a party, and they claim that Palestine isn't a party either because it's not a real state. Well, I mean, the U.S. can have that position, but it's a meaningless position. Palestine is a member of the ICC. You go to the ICC webpage, it's listed Palestine, of Palestine is joined in 2015. I even did the screenshots on my latest piece there. So there's no question about it.
So he's saying, look, they have no right to do this in defense of Palestine because Palestine is not a member, is not a real state per se, at least according to the ICC. You're here to tell us, yes, they are. So that means Matt Miller's lying or he's ignorant?
Matt Miller's lying in saying that it's not a real member of the ICC. The ICC says it's a damn real member. They say State of Palestine on their webpage. They joined in 2015. It's an outright lie. And then later on, Matt Lee picked up on my questioning.
Catch the viewers up, Matt Levy is the reporter for AP. Matt Miller is the talking head who represents the State Department of the United States. So Matt Levy is asking Matt Miller what question? Go ahead.
Right. He followed up on my questioning saying, what about Russia and the ICC? Because, you know, uh, you you're saying that, you know, Israel isn't a party and Russia isn't a party. So what's the difference here? Why are you accepting it in one and rejecting it in another? And he says, well, the difference is that Ukraine is a member.
Are they?
Well, no, they're not. He lied again. He lied on both sides of the equation. He falsely claimed that Palestine wasn't a member, and then he falsely claimed that Ukraine was a member.
And of course, that got picked up by the New York Times and ABC News and CNN, and they're all now letting us know that there are people at the State Department who are lying to us who live here in the United States. That happened, right?
Of course it happened. No, not a word. Not a word. Nobody picked up on
Bingo.
It. Nobody picked up on it in the room. I had actually left the room at that point. I mean, I had hollered what I hollered, you know, in an attempt to intercede in the situation. And I finally, you know, frankly, I got fed up with the situation and my phone was dying. So I headed out. And it was only a couple of hours later that I found that I looked at it and I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
That Matt Lee, the AP reporter, picked up on my questioning and they lied. So they have this massive hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And, I didn't get to ask a proper set of questions, but just me raising the issue and another reporter picking up on it led them to be making multiple lies. Matt Miller, the spokesperson, even at one point seemed to be claiming that the ICC hadn't bothered to even go to Israel, which is brazenly false.
Right.
The prosecutor went to Israel. He met with families who had loved ones killed on October 7th, the whole nine. He didn't go to Gaza. But they claimed that he didn't go to Israel, which was false.
It's funny. I mean, I got to tell you, people ask me sometimes, you know, why do you have a show on RT? My gosh, Russian television. Can I tell you something just as a friend? I feel more free and independent doing journalism here than I did when I worked at NBC, when I worked at CNN, when I worked at Telemundo, when I worked at Clear Channel. Where else did I work? I can't even remember. I worked at all Fox News. I worked at all of them. We always have some kind of debate in this business. You know that. But I get less pushback here than I ever have working at all those places where I anchored and produced the news, Sam.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I believe that. I think any big outlets, you're going to have some kind of constraints.
Right.
But the constraints in U.S. establishment media, given the mass criminality of U.S. policy, the mass hypocrisy and lying of U.S. policy, is so massive. So if you have an outlet that basically acts as a flunky in some respect, and that goes from Fox to CNN to MSNBC, you're going to get, you know, massive distortion of the truth at minimum.
How taken aback are you, by the way, when you sit in there and you watch this love affair and all out constant defense of Israel? And I'm not going to look. I don't want to knock Israel. There's a lot of great things about Israel. I went to Israel. Israel is in many ways a wonderful country with great people who've done wonderful things. But its position when it comes to the Palestinians should be brought to question. And for some reason, you go to these hearings and you listen to these folks and you watch these reporters. It's crazy. It's like, we're not saying you have to hate them, but at least be honest about some of the crap that they're doing. How do you deal with that?
Oh, it's very frustrating being in the room. I'll tell you that. But to me, the more insidious thing is how the State Department sets up things for, you know, they sort of pretend to say, oh, well, we really advise Israel to take more precautions for, you know, as if they care.
Right.
But then when you really dig into the actual policy, it's insidious. I asked a series of questions beginning last year, and then I picked it up again, about the Geneva Convention, the cornerstone of international law. Do you recognize the Geneva Convention applies to Gaza? And they, you know, they evaded and deceived every which way that they possibly could to avoid saying the obvious truth. No, we don't. That's basically the U.S. government policy. We don't recognize that the Geneva Conventions apply to the Palestinians. They apply to everybody on the planet.
So if we're going to...
by the Geneva Convention except the Palestinians.
So, but listen to what you just said. If we're not going to go by the Geneva Convention, if we're going to poo-poo everything coming out of the United Nations, so much so that we actually told the United Nations we don't want Palestine to have the right to be a nation... And then we're going to criticize everything that the ICC, International Criminal Court, does, then who is the ultimate arbiter of world affairs right now, globally speaking? Us? Like Washington, I guess?
And you had, you know, a series of resolutions put forward at the UN, and the U.S. representative would raise their hands and veto it. And they did that over and over again. You had the General Assembly passing resolutions, you know, 140 to, you know, to three, U.S., Israel, and I don't know, Papua New Guinea or something.
So if we say no, so if we say no to the ICC, no to the UN, no to the International Criminal Court, no to the Geneva Convention, then we're basically saying, yes, we are a hegemony. That's what we are, right. and we're copping to it and proud to say it, right? I mean,
except they don't cop to it and they don't say it. They don't even say outright, we don't recognize the Geneva Conventions. They just, you know, they will evade the question. And at one time with this guy, Matt Miller, I said, do you recognize the Geneva Convention as applying to Palestine? And he said, we absolutely recognize the Geneva Convention. And then he quickly went on to the next question. Did you mean to say that you recognize it with respect to Palestine? He said, I meant exactly what I said. I said, yeah, but you didn't say that it applied to Palestine. He said, I meant exactly what I said, and then he zipped his lips. So they caught a misimpression that they are abiding by international law while they're in the process of shredding it. I think the next step of what has to happen, the General Assembly does have some mechanisms. It has a thing called Uniting for Peace, where when a member of the Security Council is being obstinate with its veto power and is abusing its power and is preventing the Security Council, which is supposed to maintain security and is obviously failing in that respect, to grab hold of the situation. And I think where it has to...
We're going to watch for that. Maybe we want to have another conversation. That seems to be the only place it can go, given the conditions that we have right now. Sam, we're out of time. You are a delight to talk to. Please keep up the good work. And once again, I would encourage people to go to Substack and look up Husseini. Read his stuff. It's good. It's fair. It's true. Thanks again, Sam.
Thank you.
That's our show. Remember, always, look outside your own box. Truths, as we like to say, don't live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez. See you next time on The Right Impact.